This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I'd like us just to read Psalm 8. I memorized this Psalm 16, 17 years ago. It's one of those very short, very well-known psalms. And I've never preached from it. I've quoted it, portions of it, but I've never preached from it. So let's first read the psalm, and then I'll sketch a bit of context and see what God says to us about it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory far above the heavens. Yet out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, O Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him little lower than the angels, heavenly beings, Elohim, some translations, God himself, and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over all the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds in the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wonder when last you've sat just outside and just looked at the heavens. Look at the stars. When last have you just sat outside and gazed with all the great rain God has blessed us the last while? It's been a while for many of us. But just to sit still and just to consider the magnitude of space, the bigness and the beauty. And David, this is one of his wilderness psalms, one of the psalms that he wrote in the wilderness. And it's amazing. It's a psalm with a lot of hope and a lot of dignity in it, a lot of self-reflection about God's relationship with creation and specifically with mankind. So David, in David's head, Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 9, the creation account, I mean, that portion that he quotes about the dominion is a nearly an exact paraphrase from Genesis chapter 9, where God again just says, okay, so let me just reorder your relationship with creation. But it's nearly one of those exact places where God is just thinking about God's creation, day number 4, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, and then 5 and 6, how it relates to mankind. And why it's beautiful and why I say this is all about identity is it was written during one of his wilderness wanderings. So think about Psalm 42, 61, 63, those psalms where David is fleeing either King Saul or Absalom. And if I picture the psalm, every time I go like, I wonder what preceded this wandering. What preceded this wandering? I mean, being in the wilderness, being away from his palace, being away from the, you know, Psalm 42, something. I so long just to be in your temple with your people again. But now I'm an exile of my own people. I am God's anointed. Am I not? Question is like, am I still God's anointed? Was the words of Shimei right when he said that I'm his outcast and God has cursed me? Do you still consider me God? Do you still regard me? And he's outside in the wilderness and he's praying. And, you know, I'm wondering, so this is not the text. So I'm just wondering, you know, God, have you forgotten me? Do you still listen to my prayers? You know, if you are the great creator, why is all of this happening to me? Why am I in this situation that I'm in? Why do I have to flee as a criminal in the wilderness, although I'm a righteous man? God, other psalms, vindicate me, God. Come and save me. Come and regard me. But then David looks up and I want to say the prophet Calvin back there saying, you know, if more people would just stop and look at the stars each night, I bet we'd live differently. And this is exactly what David did. This is exactly what David did. As he went outside to pray, thinking about the creation, thinking about God's order in earth, he was just awestruck. So let's read it slowly again. But before we do, I'd just like you to just jump, Mackie, to verse number 3 and 4. Because in verse number 4 is the central question. The Psalms always have a central question. Sometimes the biggest psalm have centerpieces. But when I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, O Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? God, why would I ever think that you would think about mankind, or that you'd even care about me? Why would I ever think that? If creation is so big, if the stars are so beautiful, if they're so glorious and so steadfast, so unlike humankind, so absolutely different from us. You know, the psalmist, he quotes Moses in Psalm 103. So Moses, Psalm 90, says about the grass that springs up and it jumps up and it grows beautifully, and then the wind comes, the east wind, and scorches it, and a day later it's gone, as though it was never there. Moses says, God, man is like that. We've wandered in this wilderness. I think we're like this. Our bones don't even remember. I mean, there's nothing left after your people walk through the wilderness. It's like we're so futile and short, but God, the heavens are so different. We are so sinful, so corrupt. The heavens are so beautiful, so perfect. We are so temporal. The heavens are so eternal, so constant, so great, so vast. They are beautiful. And obviously for this man, for David, like that's why you'd see that he refers to the heavens and the angels sort of in one context. It's like the heavenly beings, those that are above, are perfectly flawless, radiating your glory. We don't. I don't. Just look at the mess I'm in because of my hands and other people's hands. Look how different we are. And then his question is this. Am I in your mind at all? Do you ever think about me? And do you care about me? Look at my predicament. Look at my situation. Do you even listen to my prayers? Are you even interested in me? That's a central thought of this refugee in the wilderness. So let's read it again. Mackie, you'll see that I've repositioned the slides in the second half so you can jump to a shorter version. Thanks. Thanks for helping. O Lord, our Lord. Beautiful, no? First word there in capital because it's Yahweh, the great God, Jehovah, translated sometimes. But the great covenant ever existing God of Israel, the covenant God of, so he's praying to the covenant God of Israel. It's Moy, deep relationship. Yahweh Adonai Adonai Adonai, my Lord, my Master, the great God whom I refer to as my Lord and my Master. And I want you to see two themes in the Psalms the whole time. Theme of reigning, power, authority, and of honor and glory. Two themes. Because he's thinking, obviously, of Genesis 1, 26, 28. Let's create man in our image, and the image of God, let's create them, that they may rule over all God's creation. But let's create them in our image, and let's do that. Let's give them authority. So he's starting with the whole, oh, great God, the great creator, the great ever-existing God, the God who never, ever changes, the God who's always the great I am, the covenant God, as revealed yourself to Moses. My Master, how majestic, Lord, is your name in all the earth. How great is your renown, your reputation. Isn't it amazing, God? Isn't it amazing, God? Over all the earth, your reputation is amazing. You are worthy of universal worship. You are the unchanging one. And then he goes, he says, you have set your glory above the heavens. God, in other translations, Psalm 21 and other places, 104 verse 1, he speaks about clothing creation with his glory, like a garment, like a beautiful starry garment. He says, God, you've dressed creation in your glory. It shines. That's why it shines. Because you shine creation. The heavens shine, God. You've dressed them in your glory. And then he goes like, but yet, out of the mouths and babies and infants, you've ordained strength. How do you like that contrast right there? Babies and strength. You go like, nah. Now you have to go like, why on earth would you go babies and strength? But he's saying, although the heavens are clothed and radiated God's glory, it doesn't compare to the strength of the witness of God's glory out of a small baby. Because of your enemies, God, to still the enemy and the avenger. And then he asks his question. He's saying, when I look at your heavens, O Lord, the work of your fingers, beautiful fingers there. And he's actually playing a bit because we know that the heavens were created with God's word, but mankind molded in his fingers. Genesis 2, verse 7, created Genesis 2. In your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place. And then he goes, what is man that you are mindful? God, why on earth would you think about a man? Why? Is it possible for you to think about a man if your heavens are so beautiful and vast and constant and unchanging and glorious? God, is it possible? And the Son of Man, do you even care for us here on earth, God? Because at the moment, I don't really feel that you care for me. Because at the moment, I don't really feel that you care for me. I don't really feel as though you listen to me. I can't really think why you would. Because I'm here on this rock outside this cave and I'm crying out to you. And I'm thinking, God, you've got so many other things that you're busy with, so many other things that you've created that are so beautiful, and I'm your little problem child down here. How many of you felt like God's little problem child? God, it's me again. For a season of my life, I prayed like that. I go, God, it's me again. Just to say, it's Ross, it's me again. It's David again, God. This is one of my many prayers. What is man, God, that you're mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you would care for him, God. The heavens are so big, so beautiful, so constant. I'm so fragile, so fallible, so futile. And then he comes with the answer from Genesis chapter 2, from Genesis chapter 1. God, you've made him a little lower, just a little lower than the heavenly beings. And I want you to get that. I told you the word there is Elohim. So the translator struggled. Early translator didn't want to put the word there, God. You've made him little lower than God himself. Early translators didn't want to do that. But it can as well be. The mighty ones is the word, Elohim, the mighty ones, the sons of God, some translations. You've made him just a little bit lower than yourself. And then more than that, you've crowned him with glory and honor. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've bestowed glory and honor on him. Just exactly the same picture that he does in verse 1. You've dressed him in the garment that shines. You've dressed him in the starry garment. Wherever he goes, your glory is seen in mankind. He wears your glory wherever he is. Even the small babies are clothed and wrapped in your beautiful glory, God. In your beautiful glory. They radiate glory. And then, God, what did you do? And remember, he's praying to Lord, the master, owner, commander, the one who has authority. And he's saying, you did exactly that thing. You dressed him in your glory, and you're sharing your authority with him on this earth. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, the sheep, oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, whatever passes along the seas. This is quoting Genesis chapter 9 there. But he's saying, God, see that in every sphere on this earth, you're sharing your authority and your dominion with this mankind, with this fallible little thing that prays, Lord, it's me again. With me, David. Me, David, whom you have crowned king of Israel. Me, David, that is fleeing away. God, you've really certainly not just dressed me in your glory, but you're sharing your authority with me. And then he closes and he goes, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God, now that I've considered your glory in the heavens and in mankind, how amazing is it? I want you to think now. This is David's short prayer. A man in a situation where he feels forgotten and he feels a fugitive and he feels fallible. And he's praying outside in creation, and he's praying, and he's saying, God, kanimeni, are you listening, God? How long? Remember his many songs. How long, God? How long must I wait and cry day and night for your vengeance, God? How long must I wait? And eventually, as he's praying, he just stops. How many of you have done that? You're praying, praying, praying. Eventually, you just stop praying because the tears stop and you stop. And he just looks up and then he sees the heavens, the greatness of this God. And he thinks, God, do I fit anywhere in your, do I register on your register? Am I noticed where I am? And his prayer goes, Lord, if the heavens are so glorious and so big, and I'm so fallible and small, what is man that you would even consider, think about me, and care for me? And then the answer comes. It says, God, I know that you do because of how you created me. I know that you do. The heavens are beautiful, God, but you said that you make man the crown of your creation. You have chosen to clothe me with your glory. You've chosen to associate so that I may resemble and reflect your glory. Wherever I go, creation sees one of the sons of God, one of the people that God have created. That's who I am. I am worthy of honor because God has bestowed honor on me. I feel like a fugitive. I feel ashamed for hiding out here in the caves. But the fact is that God has chosen to wrap me in his glory. That's who I am. I may not feel like it at the moment, but that's what God sees. And that's why God considers me, because he made me in his image and he clothed me with his glory. And then not just that he clothed me with his glory, but I am one entrusted with authority and dominion from God on this earth. I'm one who's entrusted to say, not just as a little child going there like, ugh, whatever, just like you're beautiful, but just stay out of the way. He says, no. I have a position in God's creation as one who rules with God, as one who shares authority with God. So David goes like, God, I look at this heavens and it's amazing. But to be blunt, yes, the heavens have nothing on me. In fact, the heavens have nothing on a small little baby. Because God chooses the insignificant and the small and the weak things of this world to bestow his glory on. So David goes like, wow. And this is why every time I read the psalm, it's so encouraging. Because you go like, heaven's amazing, creation is amazing, and yet God chooses me. God is mindful of me, and God cares about me. God is mindful of me, and God cares about me. I want to say this to you today. Maybe you're going through a really great time in your life, so there's nothing, no bump in your way. But maybe this morning, you really feel like David. God, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. When will you listen? God, do you hear? Am I important to you? Is my voice noticeable to you, God? Do you see me in this cave, God? Do you see me, like Machrit says, on the backstage here? Do you see me hiding out in the dark? Are you aware of me, God? Because I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not there. I'm stuck in the dark at the moment, God, and there's a role to play, but I don't feel as though there's an opening for me to play a role. Do I matter to you, God? Because this was David's prayer. And David says, yes. Yes, you are right. God hears and God sees. Why? Because God is mindful of you, especially of you. Even though the creation is beautiful and the heavens are untouched by sin in a sense, even though the heavens are unchanging and beautiful, God says, I see you, I notice you, you're important to me because I have created you and crowned you with glory and I have given you dominion and authority in this world. I have shared my position and my honor with you. Position and honor. The whole time is what he says. God is mindful of me and God cares about me. I want to give you a moment just to reflect in prayer. So this is really a short message today. But I want to listen for a moment just to give you a little bit of time just to reflect in the light of Psalm 8. What is your identity and your worth and how does it make you feel? Right now, where you are now. What is your identity in David's psalm? How do you define yourself? What are you? And what is your worth? How do you think about your influence, your worth, your status? And then how do you feel about that? I'm going to ask you just to take a moment. And if you're really a visitor here for the first time, you don't have to partake. So all 20 of your visitors, I'm so glad we have visitors in the church today. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a church. But I want to give you a moment, and just to take that, and just with one or two or three people in a small group, just say, What do you hear today from David Psalm 8 about your identity and your worth, and how does it impact where you are now in your life? Just to take a moment. Can we do that? And then we'll close with prayer and we'll minister to people who need ministry. But just reflect for a moment. Amen. We can continue the conversations now. Just want to close. It's amazing to see in the psalm. So obviously the psalm was written 1,000 years before Christ came. But it's amazing if you look back into the psalm from our vantage point in the New Testament, through the cross of Christ to the psalm. Because then the phrases, the ultimate prayer, God, the heavens are so big, flawless, beautiful, perfect. We are so fallible. Do you think about us? Do you remember us? Do you care about us? And then you read that beautiful phrase, it says, how from the mouths of even the smallest of babes and the nursing infants, God ordains strength to silence the enemy and the avenger. And you think back, God, there, wow. There was a little baby, because God thinks about us and because God cares about us. Some translation, do you think about us and do you visit us? And he thought about us and he visited us because he cared about us, to redeem us and to save us from sin and the power of sin forever. Because Christ came as a small baby born to silence the enemy and the avenger, to have victory over him. The gospel of Christ, seen from this vantage point in this beautiful psalm. I want to say that where you are today, that Christ has come to set you free and to save you through his blood, because he thinks about you. You are important to him. He loves you because he has clothed you with glory and because he's given you authority and dominion. And secondly, because he really cares about you. He really loves you. He created you for relationship. Christ thinks about you and he cares about you. And he has demonstrated it. In this, the love of God is demonstrated now and forever, and that Christ has died for you and shed his blood for you. So we'd love to pray for people today who feels, and I want to say this bluntly, who feels forgotten and who feels insignificant to God and to everything else. You feel forgotten by God or insignificant in all of creation. We'd love to spend some time in prayer for you, just to minister to you and to pray, and just to hear what God says to you, to trust God for words of prophecy and affirmation, words of knowledge, something that God, just to demonstrate that God really knows about you and he really loves you for who you are. So I'm going to ask the elders just to come forward as I pray and give a benediction. And then afterwards, I want to encourage anyone, if you have prayer need today, just to come forward and we'd love to pray with you. Father, we are thankful, God, for the words of your word, God, your Bible, God, for this psalm, this prayer of David, God, who you've left behind for us, God. You've kept it for us, God. And it's words about your creation and about your greatness, about your glory, about your magnificence, God, that you've chosen to share with mankind, God, because you created us in your image for your relationship. And today, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for people, God, who feel insignificant and who feel far removed from you, God, who feel stuck outside in a cave, outside of a community of people, far away from everyone else, like David did, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you heard David's prayer, that you revealed to him that he's significant and important and loved by you. And you did restore him, and you did honor him, God, in the sight of everyone, God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for people who feel stuck and feel far away. And I pray today, God, that you will answer like you did for David, that they may hear that they are significant and that they are loved by you. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he grant you peace. And may you walk in the fellowship of the Lord the whole week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.